there is a need to constantly remind citizens of their critical role and civic duties to ensuring a sustainable government. My guest, Kautha Monisola Salaudeen, a policy advocate, opines that citizens should select leaders that reflect their hope of a great Nigeria. Enjoy. Good day to you, Ms. Kautha. Such a pleasure to be doing this with you. I'm glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you made the sacrifice to be here. I feel honored. But first of all, I see that you're a passionate Nigerian. You find every means, every platform to talk about Nigeria and what should be and what should not, and how citizens need to wisen up and brace up for the challenge. Before we get into the discussion, you have a project. It's called Project Secure PVC. Let's hear about that first.
Okay, very quickly, Project Secure PVC is a platform, an independent youth organization that seeks to actually ensure the seamless facilitation of people for their permanent voters card. We have identified that there is a gap, and that is a communication gap and information gap between the independent body responsible for registering voters, that is INEC, and also the electorate. They don't have sufficient information. They are not well communicated to. In all ramifications, that is the job of the independent body. Okay. We are supposed to continuously educating people. It is not when election is dragging nearer that you now have a year to election or 2 years to election. All these registrations are last year, June. As at no point should registration stop. Like, as at no point in a sane country, we should not have deadline for this. Anybody should be able to walk into the office or INEC offices across their local government area and register. That is the beauty of democracy. And that is why they are there. That is why they are not being run by, how am I going to call it now? They are independent. Don't let me say totally. But I'm saying that the body should be effective.
Okay.
And citizens are missing out on so many things.
Such
there
as?
Should not just continuous registration. There should be continuous reorientation of voters. The CBR should stand for continuous registration of voters and continuous reorientation. If we have that influx of people ready to enlighten electorate, it will make the process much more easier. It is not now that, okay, it's going to close by June 30th. A lot of people are already like, oh God, I've missed out on this season. I've already missed out. Now, considering the long queues that will be at these INEC offices, and this year, I would not lie, INEC did not really do much of going from one community to the other. In fact, on several accounts, they said they had come to Ibadan, they had come to UI, and I'm like, you came to UI, who did you tell? Who are those that were aware that you were coming to UI? So I think their publicity is not yet solid. You're talking about, you want popular participation. You have to solve the problem. You have to go down to the grassroots, involve people if you want popular participation. Without that, seriously, we'll still continue to run around the problem. And this is a very, very compound, complex problem here.
Mm.
Extremely compound. Mm. So the kind of solutions you're going to be providing for this kind of problem have to be compound, complex as well.
Mm.
Going down to the... So that's like, okay, that's okay, fine. Myself and young people that are also politically inclined, politically engaged, that want to see Nigeria democracy progress, let's come together. How can we bridge this particular gap? We have identified it. We cannot continue to always complain. We know that this body, they can only do little or nothing about it. Let's come together. Let's go down to communities. Let's enter the market spaces. Let's organize rallies. Let's go down to schools. Let's go down to nook and crannies. Let's enter the boulevards of Nigeria. Let's try to ameliorate the problem. And as that's not, I can tell you that, okay, directly we have registered 2,523 persons in Nigeria their permanent voters card.
And in fact, we have, as at the report I got yesterday, we have 20 million uncollected EVCs.
Yes, that's another problem. You see, my job, when I identified the problem, I said, see, if I get people to register for their permanent voters card, it is 20% of 100 that I've done. Yes, if I get them to go to INEC office to collect their PVCs, that is about like 70% of my work done. If I get them to vote during the election, that is 100% of my work. So it means that there is a link, there is a chain that at every step, if I complete this task, there is a percentage awarded to myself. Check what I'm trying to say.
Definitely.
So our work is not done until after the registration has been done or suspended. We still now have to start massive campaign, massive reorientation that, see, it is not just you just registering. Take the chance, take the pain and go and collect your permanent voters card. When you now collect it, we still have to do another campaign to tell you that, see, voter apathy is real. Nigeria is like that because of what? Voter apathy. So let's try to change the orientation. Look at our neighboring country, like Ghana. For the election in 2020, every 7 out of every 10 Ghanaians will vote during election. We have statistics to prove that. But in Nigeria, we had 80 point something million accredited registered voters during 2019 election. Just 2 out of 10 participated in the election. That is way low compared to the kind of drastic change that we want. So you are saying that you like it that fair few persons should decide who sits, who make core decisions about your life. So that orientation has to change. And I feel like, see, we should stop cutting the edges of the problem.
Okay.
The problem is deeply rooted. Like, it is deeply. So what I mean deeply, I'm saying that, see, the problem goes as far as what our primary schools, our secondary schools. What are they teaching in our civic education? What do we have there? An average Nigerian don't know anything about the constitution. Let's be frank. An average Nigerian just think that the constitution is a sham or something. I beg to disagree. The constitution is not a sham. You see, for you to even look at a criminal, you have to know what backs that criminal up. For you to win over the kind of loathsome leadership we have in Nigeria, you have to understand what gives them that power first. You can't go to the battlefield without your armories. It's not possible. Without you being well protected, you cannot win against these people if you don't understand the laws that they operate with. So, and the ground norm anywhere is your constitution. So, how do we even teach our young persons constitution? What is the basic role of the government? Our student in Section 14 to be, it's for them to what? The protection of lives of citizens and their properties. They are ensuring their basic welfare. That is the role of any government anywhere in the world. So, how far do young people even understand this? When you don't even know this, when they are not doing it, how do you even hold them to ransom? What channels would you pass? Everything is not about going on the streets to protest. No, there are some things that you naturally not even go to the streets for. That is why I tell people that, see, you can own as many organizations as you want to own in Nigeria.
Okay.
If you like, set up a girl child hub. If you like, climate. I also want to be part and parcel. But I've realized that over the years that the problem is deeply rooted than cutting the edges. Let's go through, see, politics trumps everything. So if you're not participating on what trumps, you can go ahead and organize as many, how am I going to call it now, redemption camps for girl child and this and this and that, and that. If one particular law that is against that thing should be legalized, honestly speaking, whatever it is you are doing, you still go down the train. So those that represent you, that speak for your health, those that speak about your education, it's all there. We have these several committees in the National Assembly. Yes, committee for your health, security. Committee for your aviation, committee for your security, everything. And I can't remember how many committees, but there are a lot of them. So if you are telling me that politics is just for people who read political science in school, or for those who read law or something, you are deceiving yourself. They will go to the round table and make sure whatever decision they are taking favors them. But it's high time that we prioritize the interest of the mere man, of the common man. Until we have that kind of interest, and until we select those people who have that kind of interest. You know, I mentioned that, see, the Nigerian image we want has to be first sighted in those people that want to vie for those positions. Nigeria is going to be shaping in the image of the president, of our leaders. So ask yourself one critical question. This person vying for this post, look at the person's personality. Is that the personality you want for Nigeria? If you want a seeking leader, if you want a sick Nigeria, you will vote somebody who doesn't have the right vigor.
Okay.
So vigor doesn't just come with pay air. Okay, the person is frail, is aged. No. Your intellectual capacity, how well do you solve the compound complex problems that are facing us as a nation? What are your ideas? What are your orientations? You need to start asking those questions. Because when presidential debate comes,
okay,
outside that, let's the presidential debate aside, the small ones coming to bribe you. Yes, we are going to have state House of Assembly elections before gubernatorial and presidential elections, federal House of Assembly elections before all those things. Those are the major dogs that we are not even chasing after, that we think everything is just about the president alone. What about the local government chairperson? What about the councillors in the local government itself? We have councillors, at least minimum of 10, maximum of about 20 of them. So even in the grassroots, and I know very well that, see, Awolowo of blessed memory actually talked so much about local government areas a lot. He said what? It is that foundation upon which a society that wants to really, really live and thrive that it is built. He mentioned that local government is very, very important. That if you want to have a nation that is well built, that is progressive, or that will be progressive, we must make sure that it favors what? the people underneath. That is where the local government comes in. So we are not even placing any priority on local government elections. We just feel, oh, anybody can go and see there. It's what the president decides. But not. It is not what the president decides. It is what we as people underneath, the grassroots, our local government representing whether make us or mar us.
You made mention of orientation and reorientation. What do you think has held Nigerians back from having the right knowledge as far as governance and politics is concerned?
Poor education.
From where? And who's
poor what? Education system.
Okay.
You see, the kind of leadership we have. I tell people that there is a gameplay here. And for you to keep people under your continuous control, we are not in a full democracy. It is more of a dictatorial system that we operate in Nigeria.
Dictatorial system.
In fact, a measure of everything, military, dictatorial, totalitarian, autocratic, unitary, everything together, modeled up. So we don't still have a clear, defined freedom.
Okay.
So for you to keep people subjected, you have to keep them dumb.
Okay.
So
okay.
What I believe over time is that, see, it is a gameplay.
Mm.
I want these people to continue to live like this.
Mm.
Like, I want them to be subjugated to me. I won't give them knowledge. Because the moment they wisen up, the moment they know, they would revolt. So I feel it's a systematic way of not letting Nigerians revolt. So, see, our education system is not just that of the higher institution. Where it is really, really, really needed, where it is faulty, is at a primary level, the secondary level. What basic things do you know about your country? I think government studies should be compulsory. I don't think it's only in arts that it's just a government. I think civic education should be compulsory for any, whether you are in arts, whether you are in commercial classes. It should be compulsory. History should be compulsory.
But they're talking about civic education, because at some point I also taught civic education. But most times I feel like even our young ones, they don't feel interested to know about that country.
Because number one, the what is playing out is not favorable to anybody. And how are you teaching civic education?
Okay.
You see, I enjoyed government when I was in school. I never liked it before.
Okay.
But I started seeing something that intrigued me about government itself. I wanted to understand why the Nigerian political space is like this. You see, some things have to be painted or coated in sugar before it will entice somebody. Nigerian political structure, architecture is not coated in sugar, it's rubbish, it's bitter. It's a bitter pill for any doubt. No, you do have to know. But I am not seeing anything good so far, so good about the economy of the country, the state of affairs of the country. How do you want an ordinary child to even get intrigued, to want to even know about that? I started from reading newspapers
in
my secondary school. And it was just a particular student, because I saw the way they would argue about, Kinikoko government, to go back down history, what happened during the action group era, what happened with NCNC. I wanted to know more. What was the McPherson position all about? What was Clifford? Who was all of those things? Richard, who was they all about? When I see them, I'm like, okay, I'll always look like a jump score in the classroom. But today, I know. Because, and these are things that, how are teachers even teaching those things? Do they even have in-depth knowledge about those things they are teaching?
And let's not forget that the teachers too are also looking after their pockets.
Exactly.
These are people who have to wake up to live up to the realities of the economy.
That's the other problem. I told you that it is compound complex. When you go to the schools, the parents have their own.
Exactly.
The teachers have their own. And the students too also have their own. And the government too have their own. The school itself too has its own.
You know, it reminds me of one quote someone said. He said, Nigeria's problem is a wicked problem, you know. It's a problem born out of a problem that created a problem, that created another problem for another problem
it's
to come
chain.
About.
It's a chain of problems that we are looking at. That is why I keep saying that. If we are going to rewrite that, see, Nigeria is not going to go from 0 to 100 all of a sudden. One thing we have to understand. But we must take the first step in the right direction first. We are at the crossroads that whatever decision we make in 2023 will haunt us, not for the next 8 years. It will take us as far back as the 1960s. Now we are in the 1950 something. Let's be frank. I'm serious. And if we don't want to slide into the 18th century, no, we are gradually going back there. We are gradually. An average Nigerian wants to jump out from this country. But if we want to change Nigeria, because I feel like teach a child what the constitution says.
Okay.
And you are going to have what, a progressive democracy in the next 20 to 30 years. Let's be frank. So let's start. We have to go back to the grassroots. I will not join organizations cutting the problems at the edges. I never founded any organization. I did not start one. I had several ideas about, okay, how can you solve girl child education, blah, blah, palava. I'm like, if I do it for a state, I get grants from UN. I can get grants too. I know how to sugarcoat everything and get millions of dollars in grants. I know how to do it. But that is not where the problem lies. It's like 0.1% of the problem. If I do it in your state, how am I measuring? How many, as you are doing it, another time you still being born into that particular system. So the system is wrong in itself.
The system.
Let's go to the system. The system. This is why every young person has to be an advocate of political participation. Every young person has to be involved in the political process. And it starts from where? Joining a political party. Yes, we have broke political parties. But what? Try as much as possible to see what? Okay, what ideologies, what structures exist in these political parties? We have many of them. 18 accredited political parties. 18 of them that we have. So don't think that the big cats that we have are just the APCs of today and the PDP of today and maybe the Labour Party of today. Or APGA of today. Don't think about that alone. Just look at the structure. Does it suit your personal ideology? I'm not of the opinion that young people should go and find their own party. They should go and create their own party. What is that?
Okay.
Yeah, what is that?
Okay.
It's a struggle that needs to be changed. What is happening? Wait, what is happening in APC? If young people should create their own, it will happen there too. It is structure that needs to be solidified. Check out what I'm trying to say. And what are the structures that are not favoring people in place? People that have plutonic cravings. People that don't have the interest of the country at heart. We still have gluttons among young people too. I think I was on here with one Mr. Fagbero. He's on the PDP camp. And he was telling me that when he first came out, when he wanted to declare his intention to run for State House of Assembly, he said that he started from a youth police, from something youth alliance or something party, was founded by youth, grounded in young persons. He now said he still had to pay for, what's that for? Is it nomination form or something? Nomination form is not the work of, it's not the work of the government. It's a political party that will place a price tag to a nomination form. When he was mentioning Kilogram Million that he paid, I'm like,
for a party filled with young people.
And I have to kind of like, see, fine, let's analyze this thing critically. What exists in the big parties, like the APCs and PDPs of today, will also exist. It is people that are corrupt.
People
itself.
So the people are the problem.
They are the problem.
So if that's
changed, up until tomorrow, people will either be the solution or still be the problem.
So if we have to change the system, we have to change the people.
We have to change. That's why I said, teach a child constitution. Teach a child about political engagement, and in 20 years to come, we will have a democracy. Because what we have now is not near democracy at all. What we have is a measure of so many systems Nigeria have gone through. The military system, the autocratic system, parliamentary system. Those are the things that we are practicing. All muddled up. Nothing is crystal clear any longer. Same thing with our constitution. It was vetted out of a decree.
Yes.
But see, it is when you don't understand that constitution that you think that, oh, when I see people protesting, I'm like, you don't have rights to some things under the constitution, eh? Frankly speaking, if education is not working fine, if the economy is not working fine, I'm not allowed to protest. Let's be frank. Yes, I'm not. Because what? These are non-justiciable rights under the constitution. They fall under non-justiciable rights. I have rights of association. They fall under justiciable rights. I can drag the government to court if you infringe my right to privacy or right to all of those religious participations. I can drag you to court. But when it comes to economic buoyancy, political this, clinical that, education this, that.
Wow.
They fall under non-justiciable rights. I cannot drag the government to court on that ground.
Wow.
I cannot say that the economy is not functioning well, or the economy is not buoyant, or I'm unemployed. Okay, is wrong with me.
So the protest cannot get us anywhere.
Okay, what are you doing? Where we should start going, the reform that we should start seeking now is why those basic amenities would be under a non-justiciable chapter or section of the constitution. I have to be able to prove the government for not doing something that will benefit the masses. So people just don't understand so many things. It's not about anywhere benefits. Some countries must have gotten better with anywhere benefits. But any country that really, really wants to go far, you need to define the problem the way the problem is. and find possible solution to that problem. So you will not see me doing organization, because I feel like, what are you people doing? What are you doing? It doesn't appeal to my own intellect as a person.
So still talking about orientation.
Yeah.
And the need for participation and mention of where Pele is. Sometimes it feels more like people have lost hope in the future of the nation, especially when you talk to young people. They don't see anything good in the next 20 years. They don't see anything coming forth, because as we've analyzed it, we've seen some other people try to do other things. For example, someone like Femi Falana. I was watching a video of him at the Oputa panel way back as the 1990s, and I still see him in that same struggle in 2020s, in the new decade. That sort of, you know, we want to bring a sense of hopelessness, despair, and which means that I will be sort of lackadaisical, and the only thing I'm out to care for is just my stomach. So what can we do to reinvigorate hope in people, especially young people?
What is going to bring about hope for young people is when the system changes. Yes, I cannot afford a pack of noodles that are that much now, I don't even know, because I stopped eating because my is expensive. And I have to find another reason for myself, because it is fattening. If you cannot afford your basic needs, and one of the basic needs I think we have is what? Putting 3 square meals on your table. The second one is ensuring your safety. An average Nigerian can move or crawl the street around 9 p.m. What am I, 9 p.m. Babu? In the afternoon, self, in broad daylight, you can be kidnapped, you can be robbed. All of those things happen every blessed day of our lives. So what will bring about hope is a change in the system. I'm not saying we as individuals don't have our roles to play in that change in the system, but the bulk of it still lies with what? Both parties, the government. And who are the government? We the people. I keep telling people that, see, do not place the power of the people on the same level or on the same platform with the power of a rifle. Because we are more scared of what? Dying now than ever. We are more scared of what? The rifle. We are thinking that the 2023 election will be bloody. See, yes, maybe something tells me that too, that 2023 is likely to be bloody. But something tells me more that, see, it is how we want it that we will get it. If we all say that, fine, I have seen mob actions chasing away what? Men in uniform. Because it's what they want. If you are saying that thugs will ransack or would hijack our elections, the thugs are living in our communities. They did not come out from somewhere else. They did not go and hire thug from Niger or hire thug from Ghana. The thugs they are going to use to what? To disenfranchise us during election are coming from our communities.
To intimidate too.
Yes, to intimidate. They are coming from within us.
The same system.
The person you are putting there as a local government chairman is somebody's father from your community. We have to go above what? Ethnicity. Because see, if this person gets there, both Yoruba, both Hausa, both Igbo will suffer it. Both Yoruba, both Igbo or Hausa will enjoy it too. I don't know that person yet or that people, because we have 1,500 and something plus persons that will decide our lives in 2023. There are more. But I'm saying that 360 House of reps, 109 senators. In fact, the bulk of it is even in the State House of Assemblies. The bulk of it. Your president, his vice, and 6 governors, their deputies, the sum of 1,000 plus persons that will decide whether you have comfortable lives or not. So the problem is not whether it's Peter Obi, whether it is Tinubu, whether it's Osinbajo, and the rest of them. The problem is not just that alone. But then, they hold one of the largest stakes in our democracy. What becomes of Nigeria tomorrow, the face that will represent us internationally and globally, is the face or the office that sits in us work, whosoever is going to be. So, hope that we say that we have to be angry enough to change the system. But most importantly, we have to be hopeful about the steps we are taking. I am very dissatisfied. And it takes a certain level of dissatisfaction to be doing something about it. Yes. It's when you are completely angry and satisfied that you would be gentle, like, let me change this. I don't see that anger in people yet. I don't see that dissatisfaction in people yet. I am angry and dissatisfied. That's why I say, okay, fine, let me do something. Until we get to that level of dissatisfaction, not hopelessness now. at this point in time, we don't need to be hopeless.
We should be satisfied.
We should be
which
satisfied.
Will encourage us to do exactly. something.
Exactly. But most importantly, we should be hopeful in the process that we are taking to get there. We should remember that, see, we have survived so many counter coups. We have survived civil war. We have survived military regimes. And we are here now. How low again can we sink? We are at the lowest ebb. We are at the lowest ebb. That's what brings me to concluding that we are at the crossroads.
Crossroads?
Either we go right.
Or we go left.
Or we go left. It is not something that is difficult. When you stand at the road, you're like, okay, the only road we have left is right or left. You decide that you want to go back. Going back, sinking lower. Or you want to go forward. But I believe that with the influx of the participation I've been seeing so far, it has never been in the history of Nigeria. Yes, it has never really been. No matter how tired people seem, no matter how hopeless I perceive them to be, I'm still seeing this. Let's still see if just one click can still tilt us in the right direction. And it's that one click that we still need. And I'm going to say, see, look at those people vying for one position or the other. Do they represent the Nigeria you want? In fact, that solves the entire question or the riddle that we all have. You want somebody who is 85 or 70. I still keep on hammering on it. If we are going to analyze that issue critically, you should take me back to the not too young to wrong law. Because I feel it is like a sham. Yes. Ah, it is a sham. The problem is not when somebody assumes power. The problem is when does he retire from power?
Yes.
That should be what we should fight for now. Now we have fought for, we want the age to be reduced to allow young people to enter power. And we should fight for, we want the age as well to be pegged at a certain age when he will retire. What applies in the labor sector, though it varies, I think the age is pegged.
65.
Compulsory or statutory retirement age is at 65. Why can't the same apply to politics? The reason why you are saying somebody should retire from work is because what? We no longer trust their vigor. They cannot do hard labor. The Nigerian presidency or the Nigerian whatever political space, it requires much more vigor than even those ones that they are doing. So I think now we should identify that our problem is compound complex. And how to solve it too, we have to be dynamic in our thinking. So the not too young to run, we should also find too old to run big. Which will peg the age at what? See, when you are 65, you're going to your house. Look, let's be frank. We like to them to move, but when did they assume power?
As early as possible.
Yes. The guys of
even our president.
Buhari, when did they assume power? When they were very, very strong, would you compare then and now? Less of them, Obasanjo, as an elder statesman today, when did they assume power? When are they retiring from power? If we have retirement age, it will solve a lot of our problems. Number one, God for that reason will be sent back to wherever it is he came from in Nigerian politics. Yes, they're going to render so many old people useless. Let's be frank. But then they are dead. If you now look at so many governors, I will not mention them, so many governors have their sons now.
Yes.
Vying for Senate seats, vying for rep seats.
Yes.
It is not like as I'm going, I'm putting somebody else there.
Family inheritance.
We're now in a monarchical system.
Like you said, everything muddled up together, compound complex.
Because confederalism is playing out there one way or the other. My father is going, I am taking over. Why is that so? The money they have acquired, they use it to sponsor their children there. They continue to still acquire the money. Nigeria's democracy is one of the most expensive democracies in the world.
Sure.
We still have to go back and revisit how much is their salaries.
Especially senators.
What bogus amount of money are you giving to these people for doing what? This is a public enterprise, not for profit. It's not. But you guys are hell-bent on what? Making profit. It is servitude. You're supposed to come and serve. That is why I keep saying that if you don't have people who are forward thinking from the grassroots level that we affect the change we want, we continue to have that issue because they've been back and forth over what reducing the salaries they earn, and that's because that's the only work they do. Now, one other thing I want to mention here is that see, when you want to elect people, look at them critically. Do they have jobs that they are doing?
Okay,
the likes of them, Awolowo, the likes of Esela Akintola. They have jobs. When politics wasn't favoring them, I don't know, we'll go back to the chamber. When politics wasn't favoring them, they'll go back to Koko Farm. Yes! I remind myself every day that I'm not going to enter into the political space without having a job of my own. It's not supposed to be a do or die affair. They will not leave because they have nowhere to return to. If you don't want to continue with this same circle, look, this person, what job does he have? What does he do outside sitting in the National Assembly? You need to know all those, they are the critical things that Nigerians are not yet looking at. Ah, this person is popular. And let me debunk a myth that says that, because this person is popular, you did want to win an election.
Please talk about that, because I feel that's a problem when we base our democracy and election on popularity. For example, on the illustration, for example, if my car breaks down, I'm supposed to call a mechanic, but Nigeria's democracy seems to be like, this guy is faulty, let's go and call that guy because he's popular. Meanwhile, he's not a mechanic. Meanwhile, we need a mechanic to fix the problem. So, can you shed more light on that?
Now, you see, as Nigerians, we are going to be doing ourselves a great disservice if we are voting because of popularity. A very big disservice. Now, let's look at somebody who has something to offer and somebody who is popular. I've seen it play out in Nigerian elections so far. All my life, that's what I see. When I entered the Faculty of Law UI, it was during the election period that I entered. I crossed from education to law. It was during that election period that I crossed. And I was asking, okay, there were two candidates vying for the same president seat. And I was asking around, okay, how is this? What do you know about these people? And I said that, the other person will not win. He's not very, very popular amongst students, Faculty of Law. And I said, you are stupid. Should we not rally around somebody who has something to offer and make him more popular too?
Okay.
Should we not go to, because you feel that because, he doesn't have anything to offer, because he's popular, he should win the election. So you are selling what should be your own right to somebody who is nearly popular and doesn't have anything to give you. That is a great service. Why not look at somebody who has something to offer? Rally on around that person and break the stupid myth that we have about only popularity wins an election. Make that person popular too, because we need him more now. So we should not think that because, the Tinubu of today is very, very popular, is very, very influential. You can render him redundant. Yes. That's why I keep saying that we should not undermine the power of the people. If we place the interest of Nigeria above the interest of our stomach and popularity, we will get there faster.
Okay.
Yes. And there has to be a national dream.
National dream. National dream. It seems more like we don't have one.
We have never had one.
Okay. So what should be the Nigerian dream?
So we have not defined the problem.
Okay. So until we define the problem.
We have to identify it first. Because you don't have clarity as to where we are going to. There is no blueprint that, in 2023, we must have completed this particular project here. No matter the government that sits, no matter who gets into office, that should be a blueprint that, even though you have your plan when you're coming into office, there is a Nigerian plan. So whatever plan you have has to fit into this Nigerian plan.
Blueprint.
Yes! That is why any government will come. The former government was doing a particular project on this road. I don't want to do it again, I beg. Let's look at the one I promised to record the local government area. Let's go there. They were the ones that voted for me. Let me go and satisfy them first. So, until there is a blueprint, this will be decided by those people that was in the National Assembly.
So what should the blueprint look like? If we are just to paint a picture, what should it look like? From where we are now to, let's say, about next 20 years, what do you think it should look like?
First and foremost, let's go down to the quality of our education system. I've not read in history that a country developed without primary quality education. Look at the Asian tigers, for example. Look at what they did with human resources. They had to come where? They had to understand, our education system has to grow for us to grow. Our children have to know. They are the ones that will bet innovations. The Taiwan of today, the Hong Kong of today, the Korea of today, that was the Singapore of today. That was what they did. So if you are saying, what should the Nigerian dream look like? The Nigerian dream should first of all be quality-free education first. The Nigerian dream should provide a space that is secured for me to even dream. Nigeria should not be an ambush to talent, because right now it's an ambush. There is no safe space to sleep and dream. If you're not hearing gun in the midnight, how can you even dream rightly? So the Nigerian dream that we want in the next how many years? We're in 2020 something. In 2030 or 2040, the Nigeria economy should be buoyant. We should try and say, okay, fine. Even though our naira will not equal a dollar, we should be close. The Nigeria that I foresee should be a Nigeria that what? That will prioritize creation, manufacturing, rather than what? Importing. So we have to shut our borders and see the problem that is within. The reason why we are not growing is because what? People don't have, I'm not going to call it now, I won't say intellectual prowess, enough of it, but we have to create.
Creation.
That is what brings about what? Buoyant economy. That is what brings about what? Reduction in inflation. That is what brings about what? Circulation of money itself. After we must have been enjoying those things, that's when we're like, we're going to invite people that want to buy. We have to send some things packing. For example, Kentucky Chicken Republic. Is it KFC? No, Kentucky Fried Chicken. We have to send some people packing. Yes. You know, since when they've been here? Do you know since when Kentucky Fried Chicken has been here? Do you know? Are you telling me that? I know when I was in school, I know many young, brilliant persons that make their own fries outside my hostel gates and the lights. And they do it far better. We got somebody in the 1880s, something, had a manual. And we feel that manual should just be there forever. No. If we say today, leave this place, please leave. So we have to look inward to solve our own problems. Look at it. Operation Feed Nation failed. Yes, that's the fact. Structural Adjustment Program failed. Let's look at other things that will be popularly accepted that would work. Popularity of a law will make a law effective faster. Yes, it's just what democracy is saying. It's what the rule of law is saying. There must be a just popular law that everybody knows. No parking here in Aso Rock. And we all know that. We all know. It's only fair people that will be defiant. I'm serious. Lutio or Sofin. Yes. So let's
go on. To wrap it all up, we have so many leaders emerging now. As I yesterday,
we have so many aspirants.
Okay, aspirants.
Okay, a big difference.
Okay, aspirants, as you put it. We have aspirants coming out. For example, Abga produced his own presidential candidate yesterday. PDP has its own now. Article. Labour Party has its own now. It will be very soon. We are hoping to hear from APC very soon, from other parties too. So aspirants are coming out. Nigerians have to make a decision. In bullet points and in practical terms, what should Nigerians be looking out for? And what kind of questions should Nigerians be asking these people when it is time to actually campaign and debate?
You see, the answer is not far-fetched. The questions you should be asking is very, very glaring. Start from your security. Young people, start from your education. Don't try to look inward. And try as much as possible. What can you do to make Nigeria safer? Our problem, I said, is compound complex. Why do we have insecurity marauding, prowling our society at the highest level today? Some problems are artificial. Some problems are natural. Listen to what they are going to say. I feel like the insecurity we have today, they are artificial. They are created to make us insecure, to make us unsafe. By who? Nigerian system. By who? Past, present, continuous leaders. So we have to know that our problem, basic amenities, is our safety, our education. If they can pass our healthcare, if you ask those people those bullet questions and they can pass, I swear to God who made me. Every other thing is still very, very small. An average Nigerian today is concerned about my food, my well-being, my safety. Yeah. So why do I have to go and be thinking that somebody should please take the bolt out of the, you know, all those. There are problems, no doubt. But I'm saying that the major thing any Nigerian wants to hear right now is my security, my education, my food. What will you do to food insecurity? What will you do to unemployment? Before we now start looking at, okay, after we must have solved those wounds. You see, automatically, in fact, those wounds too get solved.
Yes.
As I'm saying that, the question is not far. The answer is not far too. What is bothering you as a young person, as a Nigerian? What is your problem? Use your problem to ask questions. And my problem, number one, is that I cannot move at this time of the day. In fact, even my house, they are burgling it every day. As a result of what? Unemployment. And a lot of what? Insecurity. I was analyzing something to somebody yesterday. See, we need to have forward-thinking leaders. Leaders also have clarity. don't vote leaders who have emerged out of a cult.
Out of a cult?
Yes.
How do you mean?
Don't vote leaders who have shared their government with other stakeholders. I keep saying it. I won't mention him. But in the pace setter state, what appears to me now is more of our government or our governor is a stakeholder, not a governor. That's another question entirely. Because see, frankly speaking, the security of Oyo State is at the lowest ebb. And we have thugs in the system. Thugs well known by the system. So we have to be careful not to elect people who would share the power they have in office with other stakeholders.
Especially non-states.
Especially non-states. People who are not supposed to be anywhere in the state. That's the problem we are still facing in Nigeria. People emerge out of a cult. Oh, remember where you're coming from. They are the ones that will put you there. We help you run elections. You have the street muscle. When are we going to change that? No, when? You are using force to impose on civilians. What makes you different from the military regime? If I still don't have an independent will to make a choice, if you still come with thugs, if you still use thugs to influence democratic processes, it's not democratic any longer now. So we have to be careful not to bring people who have cults into the position of power. Because what? They will still use their cult. That's why we have Boko Haram today. Yes. It's a cult. They emerged from a cult. Their emergence was from a cult. People who were loyal who became disloyal. That's just it. That's why I said it's an artificial problem that was created by somebody, by people, in fact. So if we are going to solve that problem, see, you have to identify them and then clear it off, Nina. But now you've given non-state people power. It's just like God and Satan. Yes. It might be too extreme for people, as an example. But God saw that Satan was already matching up to the level of the power he has. Yes. I still feel that the only difference with God and Satan is that what? Satan cannot create a human being, but he can only create that human being and turn the person against God. Finish.
Yes.
It's the same thing that we have playing out now. Now, the non-state actors are already having the same power as the government. They're already becoming like a bone in their throat. Because they were once their loyal boys. Satan was a loyal servant to God too. Until he starts saying that, yes, I am the one, I am here. So we need to identify what problems we have created by being callous to get into the system. We should seek leaders who are not callous. Leaders who are not the, by all means, leaders. I have to be there, it's a do or die affair. We must look out for leaders who are not desperate. Look out for people who place the interests of Nigeria above all other things. Above, I am from the south-south. Above, I am from the north. Above, I am from the southwest and the east. We have to do that.
So this is where we have to wrap up, because there are lots of things to talk about, especially when it comes to Nigeria. And that's because you made mention of its compound complex, which means we'll have to screw this, to screw that, to untie that.
We have to screw a lot of things. But let's start from where? Getting our permanent voters card. Participating. There is no mob. There is no thug. I can come out and challenge the will of the people. Then the lives of fallen on. Yes, they have to be there in our society. But there are many things they've also gone wrong too. There are many things they've done wrong as well. Yes. But yes, we need advocates to be in our communities.
Yeah.
We need activists to be there. That is where I also came out from. But every day I keep having a change of heart. I keep redefining my path. I keep getting clarity that, okay, fine, this is where I want to really, really be. This is a change I want to make. I want to effect policies that would affect the common man's life, not policies that will be there and unpopular. Politics that change the narrative, that change the stories. So you get, and bring people. I have friends who also have that mindset. You are also one. Change vanguard. That is what you are. So let's keep the flag of change flying as high as possible.
Let's keep the change. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thank you for your time spent. Thank you for the sacrifice you had to make. I really appreciate.
Thank you for having me.
And hope to engage you more and more as we head towards the 2023 elections. I hope to get favorable results and hope to change Nigeria for good once and for all. And Bubes, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining in again this week, and I hope you had a good time. Please ensure to subscribe to this channel from wherever you listen to podcasts. Special thanks to my sound engineer, Tom Lucky Media. Till I come your way next time, stay lifted.